This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
We do. And you've been loving us. You've been loving us a long time, haven't you, my God?
No. Oh, a little while.
How long have you been associated with Joy?
I became a member, I don't know, 97? To the mid-97, something like that.
When did the damn station start?
1993. World AIDS Day, gee. December 1.
1993. All right. Well, there's some history there.
There's a lot of fabulous history.
And we're
going
to probe some of that history with you, Mark Garda, in the rest of this hour until 12 o'clock. But, you know, in the meantime, because you're telling me, and I'm hesitant to believe this, that you're not going to be doing Saturday Magazine anymore, and in that time, you actually worked for Joy?
I did.
Did you not? In what capacity? Or?
Well, I started, as I said, I became a member kind of mid to late 1997.
Can I ask what your membership number is?
959.
Oh, that's an early one.
It's an early one. Yours is earlier, though, isn't it?
It is, actually.
Yeah. What's yours?
659, yes.
659 and 959.
And what led you to become a member of
Joy? Carol's 413, she's telling us through the window.
I thought she was number four. But what led you to join up in that time?
Well, a friend of mine, I was singing in the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus at the time.
Yeah?
And
you love to sing, don't you?
I don't mind to sing.
I hear you sing lots and it's gorgeous, yes.
Woman in the chorus said, have you heard about the gay radio station? I went, no. Ooh. So at that point in time, Joy was on weekends only, which is a big, long history of our licence process. And I'd always had a bit of a hankering, something in me about radio kind of appealed. And in 1997, I did the Melbourne Radio School course just for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And
that's quite independently of Joy.
Yeah. I just went, maybe if I'm going to hanker in radio, I need to get a bit of training about this. So I went down to Melbourne Radio School and put in a submission to the programming committee.
At Joy?
At Joy. Mm. And my first introduction to Joy were Carol Wilkinson and Adam Stobbs.
Oh, God.
I still came, which people still find amazing.
Say. We won't ask which one was the most forbidding at that stage or what did you learn about gay radio from meeting those two?
Wow. Well, I found out that it was a very diverse organisation from very early on. And I put in a proposal for a show called Vocal Women, which was essentially a women's music show. And I did my first couple of shows on air during midsummer 1998 in January.
And what was that like?
Terrifying and exciting and, you know, late night. You always start in radio on a late night gig.
And the graveyard.
The graveyard shifts. Yes. But it was it was very exciting. It was lots of fun and I had someone there to support me and teach me panelling and do some very basic training.
What were you thinking? What were you thinking about the world out there when you first sort of sat behind the microphone and said, hello, I'm...
Yeah. You don't want to think too much the first few times about the fact that you hope really that no one's listening on the
one
hand.
In one way, yes.
And
but
hope
then,
that someone is. But you really just have to... I think the secret in radio is to imagine that you're talking to one person and, you know, because for me, the joy of radio is that it's such a personal medium and it can reach people everywhere. And I think that's its absolute, you know, it's got that over television, newspapers, everything. You can get anyone, anywhere, anytime.
There's a real intimacy about radio and as listeners will understand it because, you know, there's something about having the radio in your ear, which is totally unlike being watching TV and listening and stuff.
Yeah, and as so many people have told us over the years, you know, it feels like they've got friends, the people on the other end of the microphone.
And it's quite an intimate thing to actually talk. I mean, and it's good, a thing like Saturday Magazine is great because we can talk to each other, we can look at each other and enjoy each other's company, but by doing it solo...
Yes.
Yeah, was it hard to sort of keep up the energy or the pace or some sort of identity even when you were doing it?
Yeah, look, I think it can be. There's a bit of nervous energy helps. I got a tip once that someone said, you know, have a photo of someone sitting in front of you. You imagine, you know, that you've got an audience. Put a smile in your voice and, you know, have a good time and that comes through.
And did you think of yourself as someone different to who you otherwise did think about? I mean, did you feel different or did you...
I guess to some...
Did you find something different about yourself?
I guess to some degree you do discover an enormous amount about yourself. You find out the things that you do quite well. Mm. You find out the things that you don't do so well, the things that challenge you. You're on the spot, like it's live radio, and at Joy we've never had the 10-second delay or the dump button.
No, that's always been a scary moment. Yes.
So you know it's real, and I think you just have to go in there with a really positive attitude and go, well, I'm going to do my best and I'm here because I want to be here and love it. And I think don't take yourself too seriously. My philosophy has always been on this program particularly, I think people don't necessarily want to hear what I want to say. My job is to bring the news, bring the information, bring the entertainment to people and let it speak for itself.
Exactly.
I'm no expert on most things.
But it's important to know how to ask the questions that most people would probably want to ask.
That's right. And you need to be, particularly on an interview show, you need to be a good listener and really try and follow the flow of what's happening. And I have always been impressed with Joy that, you know, ever since I joined, and at the time John Jennings was program manager and the volunteer program manager, and my first program meeting, I could always remember going, yeah, these guys are really on about creating good quality radio so that even though it's community and it's voluntary, it's quality.
Yes, there's never been that excuse, oh, well, it's communities, therefore we can accept, you know, less than the best.
That's always been the emphasis. Yeah. And the men that started the station basically all came from some kind of radio background. Mm. So they were very
They had a very professional cast. Now, you say the men that started the station. What was it like when you started with them?
My understanding is that it started in 1993 after about a year's work of a small band of dedicated people headed by John Oliver. Essentially, for John, it was the height of the AIDS epidemic. Mm. And for John, it was like, well, there are a lot of people who can't get out of their home and who are isolated from the community. We want to bring a bit of the community to them. Mm. And he had a show called Hello Hospital.
Hello Hospital.
Which, if you know John at all, it's so John, Hello Hospital. And I think it was men in the early days, but that certainly they were very keen to include women. And Anita Gibbons, who does Women on Waves on a Sunday morning, was one of the very early women involved in Joy. Carol has been here for many, many years, long before me. And it took a while for women to find a larger place in Joy, but they've always been welcome in my experience. And there were probably maybe a quarter of the people here were women when I came, perhaps. And I've certainly always been encouraged as a woman to be an important part of this station. So I've been very fortunate and had a lot of roles around the track.
You certainly have, which we will explore. Speaking of roles, let's have a listen to this.
The baby is returning home.
Vanessa Amorosi.
Joy.
And Nick was saying that's one of the songs he most associates with.
It is,
Joy.
I remember it so well. It's if there's one sort of one of our anthems that we've used, because we've used a number over the years, that really, I think also because Vanessa was so generous in terms, you know, supporting the station.
She was, and she still is. And look, it is a fantastic song, and I think it sums up so much about what Joy is about. And that was in the days when we were broadcasting on temporary licences, 90.7, which is now SYN FM, another fantastic community radio station. We were on air, when I first started, we were on air 2 days a week, Saturdays and Sundays only, and then we moved to 4 days, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and shared with Cool and Deadly, the Koori station, which has now got the AM, they got the AM licence at the time, and Muslim Community Radio.
That was
And there's some fantastic
marriage,
stories
it? Yes.
there. And look, I Paul Turditch, who was our station manager at the time, did a wonderful job negotiating the shared arrangement, because you got blocks of time as a temporary broadcaster, and we decided that we wanted more continual contact with our community rather than 3 weeks here, 4 weeks there, 6 weeks there, and then nothing in between.
Yeah.
And that fitted in very much, I think, with the philosophy of John Oliver, wanting to keep in touch with our community. So Paul and the committee of management at the time negotiated with Cool and Deadly and Muslim Community Radio that we would share differently to that. So we were all on 90.7 rather than have our blocks.
So you suddenly tune in and think, goodness me, who have I got this?
So Midnight Friday would become Joy through to Midnight Tuesday, and then Midnight Tuesday would become Muslim Community Radio through to Midnight Friday. So goodness knows what the Muslim people felt like if they turned on early and got our dance music, and we would occasionally flick on and get the call to prayer.
Yes.
And it was a fantastic, you know, it was a fantastic shared arrangement.
And
it worked very well.
It was a different time then. You wonder if would happen now.
I guess you'd hope so. So the Cool and Deadly wanted to keep their block broadcasting. That worked for them. But the Muslim community also wanted to keep regular communication with their community. And, you know, Friday was their holy day. We got our holy day, which was the weekend. Yeah. They got theirs. And then we would negotiate blocks. So they would get 5 or 6 weeks for Ramadan, which generally was before midsummer. And then we would get 6-week block broadcast across midsummer. Mm. And that was a critical time for us in terms of connecting with our community, getting memberships, and also getting peak sponsorship.
So a lot of skill from here, from Joy, in terms of working with the broader community.
Absolutely. Mm. And, you know,
it reflects very well on us, doesn't it?
It does. And I do have to pay tribute to Paul Turditch, who was the station manager at the time. And I've got a list as long as my arm of the things that wouldn't be happening without Paul. And I'll go into that a bit later. But as you said, we had a theme. So every time we came on for Midsummer, we would have a theme song. In the first hour, I played everything, Sarah Washington. And that was our theme for the first full-time year.
Mm-hmm.
And Vanessa was very generous. She actually recorded us a special version of Absolutely Everybody, which I have been trying to track. Carol's got it. Oh, my God. If only I'd asked you during the week. I've been searching for that all week, Carol Wilkinson. Oh, my God. Right.
Not here.
Carol, next time you're on air, you have to bring in that special Vanessa. Because she went into – Jeff Sparrow was our head of engineering at the time, and she went into his studios and she recorded a special version which Jeff put together. So instead of Absolutely Everybody in the whole wide world, she sang Joy Around the World.
Gorgeous.
And we throw in Joy Melbourne, and it was just phenomenal. Yeah. And so we used that as our special theme song. So I needed to play that because that's very much for me.
And I'm glad you did because it nails the spot for me for
and
Joy.
That's what Joy's there for. It's for absolutely everybody and you know, always has been, I think. So I took my little test run, and then the programming committee popped me on a show that was on Sundays at the time called Potpourri, which it was a bit of everything, a bit like Saturday Magazine, but a bit more people-oriented.
Yes.
Run by Bill Jeffrey and Alan Smales, and they threw me in there with a couple of the chaps that had been on Joy for quite a while learn the Joy ropes.
Yeah, many women on the station then?
Carol, Anita, Kamina Lyle, JP, her partner. So maybe, look, you know, probably a bit less than a quarter, I think, of the women, not all on air. But a place where I certainly felt comfortable. I think, you know, there were times when it was perceived as a bit of a boys' club.
Hmm.
And what you perceive from the outside and what's the reality on the inside isn't always so. And it was somewhere where I always felt very encouraged. And then after I had some time learning the Joy ropes on Potpourri, which was a lovely show, and that's where the great coming out stories, which was such a feature of Joy, that was a real feature of what Potpourri did.
Very important stories for a lot of listeners, because this is where I remember when we went for our full-time license and went before the appeals board or tribunal. Andrew Melbourne spoke for us and sort of said, you know, Joy is like a town hall for our communities where people can get up and have their voice and be heard. But more importantly, it's where, as John Oliver wanted, it goes into people's private times and places and they can hear us. We're going to listen to some Melissa Etheridge in a minute, I think, and there's a story about the gorgeous Melissa, and we will get into that in just a second.
Well, about 1999, I think. No, called Breakdown was the album it was from.
There's a special reason. We're talking with Mark Gardner here on Saturday Magazine, and the reason why we're specifically talking with Mark at this time rather than Mark talking with somebody else is that you've decided to have a formal break from Saturday Mag for a while and maybe from doing stuff with the station, but you're not actually leaving entirely. What does it mean to... I want you to talk about Melissa in a second, but just quickly, what does it mean to make a decision to have a change?
Yeah, it's... I'm not great at change, and I'm even worse at decision-making.
Oh, golly.
And I'm a procrastinator with a capital P.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this show probably for about 8 or 9 years. And there's a part of me that has, I mean, I love it. I love this show and I love the people that I've met on it and people that I've been able to interview, and the opportunities have been phenomenal.
Mm.
And I love my current co-hosts.
Thank you.
So much.
We love you too.
I think for me it's been a little, I've got a young family and wanting my Saturdays for myself for a little while and to do stuff that I need to do with my family. Preparation, like it's a lot of work to put
and
together an interview program, and we do it. I've been doing it for a while, and I think for me, it's been coming for a while.
Is that the sense of, you know, it's time? Sometimes it's good to break a routine.
Look, I think it is. Mm. I think it is, and it's been a decision that's been quite difficult for me to make because Joy gets under your skin, and I have an incredible loyalty to the organisation.
So if you just said, "Oh, look, I wouldn't mind just taking a break," that doesn't kind of mean anything, does it?
No.
Because it could be, you might get off for a couple months until you get called in an emergency basis. And I'm sure this is not the last we're going to hear of it.
But
it's important to signal that they're saying, look, I'm going to be away from this for a while.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's time for me to stop altogether or not.
Yeah.
And I think this is in some ways putting my toe in the water and going, okay, I do need a change. I know I need a change because I haven't got the same energy for it as I used to, and that's not good for the show or the listeners.
Your energies are going somewhere else, as you've just said. Now, you've actually had some fantastic energetic moments too. And when you talk about interviewing people, what was – you met Melissa Etheridge.
I did. I've had a few highlights. I got to do my show Vocal Women on the radio station, and did it a little bit myself and then shared it for a while with a woman called Ro Marney and Annette Pope, two women who were loads of fun to be on air with. And one of the highlights of doing that was to actually get to interview Melissa. And she came out to Australia just to promote that album.
Yes.
And Joy was well looked after. She had a full day of interviews and they got us in first that she wasn't buggered and getting here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
And trimming those answers.
And it was like phenomenal, 20-minute interviews, bing, bang, bang. So you got your time. We went to her hotel room in South Yarra. Not her hotel room. They had a separate interview. Yeah, right. You didn't actually get into the hotel room. And the minder was out the door, I was like, right, Mark Gardner, Joy Melbourne, your time starts now. You've got 20 minutes. I'll knock on the door when there's 5 minutes to go. Then I'll open the door and you're over. She must have been exhausted. So I spent 20 minutes alone in a hotel room with Melissa Etheridge.
Did you actually get to talk?
Sort of. Took me ages to work out what to wear.
Oh, Lordy. So, all right, what did you wear?
Oh, I don't know. Jeans and a shirt and a vest or something.
You're not trying too hard.
She was lovely. She was very generous with herself and her time and just a lovely woman. But obviously, you don't get to meet people like that all the time.
No.
And that some of the blessings for me of being with Joy have been the people that I've had the privilege to spend time with. And obviously, she's kind of up there as the pinnacle.
She's an icon,
icon and a great musician. And, little old Marg Gardner wouldn't normally get to do that.
No.
So that was
so there's
special.
Some of the rewards of the hard work you put in. As a volunteer mostly here.
And probably the other highlight in terms of interviews was we've always done an outside broadcast of Pride March, and that's always been one of my highlights, standing on the balcony somewhere.
Yes.
And the year that Christine Nixon marched, the first year that the police were allowed to march in uniform, and she marched with them, and that was amazing. And now I'm going to get emotional.
You are.
And I left the balcony and ran down to the end of the march and stuffed a microphone under Christine Nixon's nose. And that was a highlight too, was being able to interview her on that momentous occasion. That was fantastic.
Yes. And you carry yourself, you've got the presence, you get the questions out there, and you do the listening. It's all there.
Well, it's fun. It's great.
It is great.
I love it.
All right. Mark, we've got some one of the great things that's happened in your time since being at Joy and building the station to what it is we're getting fantastic support from sponsors and supporters and things. And it's time to have a little listen to some of those. Is that a silly question?
I guess it's different to being a man on Joy. It's like different being a woman or a man anyway. I don't know. It's been a fantastic experience for me to be a woman on Joy, and I've been privileged to have a number of roles at Joy and to have a lot of Joy entrusted to me over the years. And
you have had a lot of Joy, in all ways, and you've met that trust very well.
And it's been a privilege to work with the amazing volunteers that have been here as a volunteer and as an employee. And that, of all the highlights, the biggest highlight has been working with all of the amazing people. I was either voluntary or paid as program manager for about, 6 years, 7 years, something like that. Maybe 8 years. It's getting all a bit foggy
it
now.
It all merges
but
between
think,
one job and the
I
next.
I think in the whole time that I was program manager in one capacity or another, I could count on one hand the number of times people let us down.
They disappointed
and
you, that, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And in lots of ways that wasn't letting us down because they had, other than that they had no choice, something went wrong.
Yes.
People are incredibly dedicated and the radio happens all the time.
And I mean, this what you're listening to now is, and if you could see the fantastic setting we have now is totally built on volunteer support and listener support and volunteer support. In that time that you were program manager, it looks like it from to me there was a huge shift and a huge build up of support too.
Oh, look, there was. We started, it was a very small thing when it started, both physically and human resources wise and the hard work of people to build it to what it is now and, you know, to obviously take it to what it's going to be in the future is just amazing. And I think people in our community actually do understand and value it. When we were going for our licence, you had to prove that you had a community of interest to serve and that they wanted you to exist. Mm-hmm. So we instigated a love letters program and we invited people to write love letters to us telling us what joy meant to them and why they wanted joy. And we were inundated. Our licence application had one great huge fat folder full of the application and another huge fat folder full of love letters that we took up to the Australian Broadcasting Authority in Sydney. And we had letter after letter after letter of people telling us why joy meant so much to them. We've got an SMS here from James that said, I've been listening to joy since I was 17. Now I'm 24. I feel like I've grown up with joy.
Oh,
and it's that personal connection.
Yeah. Thank you, James.
Yeah, that personal connection.
It makes me feel a bit teary.
Much. And we actually, the Community Broadcasting Australia Association has an annual conference and they have awards. And our very first award that we won was for the best station promotion, which was a series of recorded messages called Joy Melbourne Makes a Difference in People's Lives. Mm. And we actually took snippets of those actual love letters and recorded them and played them on air. They always made me cry.
Yeah.
And they still do because they were so personal. You know, one from a 16-year-old boy in Broadmeadows that, you know, we were his connection.
Quietly listening when no one else was around.
Yeah, a 46-year-old woman who'd come down from Sydney and thought she was the only person like her in the whole world and found joy. And the support from community groups like Pride March and politicians like John Thwaites was fantastically supportive of us. And we knew we met a need and we just had to prove that. And it was a massive, massive task. I was privileged to be part of a great team that wrote our licence application and appeared before the ABA, as you said, Andrew Melbourne representing us. And the support we got was just phenomenal. And it was a challenge being on temporarily, you know. I've mentioned Paul Turditch earlier, but when we weren't on air, we didn't have sponsorship, so our income was very limited.
That's right, yes.
And he kept this place running on the smell of an oily rag many, many times. He really is responsible, I think, for our full-time licence. He knew what was required. He did the work. He got into the CBAA and got us a very high standing within the CBAA and an enormous amount of respect. I remember going to the conference where we won that award and people were, and it was the last one before the licences were announced, and people were so supportive. You know, you guys really deserve a licence. You are fantastic. Good luck, you know. And he built good relationships with Sin FM and other community stations.
So that, no, it wasn't competitive. It was about being part of a whole a bigger community of radio.
And there was a little bit of competitive because there were 3 FM and 1 AM licences and 19 aspirants. Mm. So there were going to be, 15 disappointed radio stations. 15 very disappointed radio stations. We wanted 90.7 because we wanted a metro-wide licence. In their wisdom, the ABA decided to give us an inner Melbourne licence, which is why we're now on 94.9, because they said that most gay and lesbian people live in the inner Melbourne area.
Despite the fact that we quite clearly said, but the people who really need to listen to us are those who don't and who are isolated.
Yeah, we tried real hard with that one. Yeah. But, you know, God bless the internet. Because we are able to now reach. And for us, the radio, the live radio is primary, obviously, but people can tune into us through the web if they can't get us on the standard methods and internationally, of course. Yeah. And so we have reached way beyond, I think, what we ever dreamed of reaching, although Paul Turditch did have a dream of taking over the world.
Okay, well, there's still chance for that. Now, do you want to listen to something more?
You were talking about change and how we make change and how we make decisions. And the last 2 or 3 years have been massive change for me personally. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of change around this radio station as well. And this song is from Katie Lang, who, you know, I couldn't not play this song. This is the first time I've ever played it on radio. It's a bit of an opportunity and it's a bit of a longie.
It's
so if you want to make a cuppa, you can. It's called Love Is Everything. It's from the Hymns of the 49th Parallel, which I think is one of the best albums that anyone's ever put together. It's written by Jane Sibri and it's a song that has moved me from an album that has sustained me over some challenging times in the last couple of years, and I love it.
So I'm talking here with Marg Gardner on Saturday Magazine, and this is Marg's last official Saturday Magazine. If you've got any comments or anything you want to send to us or hellos, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email on air. That was Katie Lang, as if you couldn't tell, with Love Is Everything. And those final words, Mark Gardner.
That's a gorgeous song. I love it. It's a great album. If you've never really spent the time with Hymns of the 49th Parallel, I recommend it. It's she's been around for ages, but it's a great album.
Been quiet for a while. And you're going to go quiet for a while.
Yeah, just for a little while.
You were talking, it's about making room.
It is. It is. This place does get under your skin, and it's certainly been a massive part of my life, particularly when we were going for the licence and early days of the licence and all that kind of stuff. And I have a young family. When we put in the submission for the full-time licence, Joel was born. And at 2 weeks old, the day we signed off on the licence and sent to Sydney, he was 2 weeks and our then youngest member.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, a lot of my life has happened while I've been associated with Joy. And, I'm not sure what it holds for me.
So if you make space by
drawing
a line here.
I think so. As I said, I've been through a lot of personal change in the last few years as well. And I think if you don't make the space, as you were saying, Nick, you don't know what's going to happen. And I'm trying to go, okay, I don't know what I want to do in a whole range of areas, career-wise, personal-wise, everything. And I think for me, part of the process of change is to say, all I can do is what I can do right now.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, but part of this stepping back from Saturday Magazine is to go, all right, I want to know if this is what I want to do. I might spend a couple of months off here and go, I can't stay.
Can I get back there?
Help, please let me back. But it is about going, I'm just going to do the best I can with each day that I've got.
Is that a scary thing to do, to make that decision?
It has been. Although I've learnt, I'm learning better to do with that, and the changes that have happened in my personal life have helped me to go, well, there's a whole lot I can't control, and all I can, and the way I'm doing it now is the best I know how to do it. And I think we can be pretty hard on ourselves about the way we do things sometimes, particularly in retrospect.
And it's like being on radio, especially when you're interviewing guests and you can't control an awful lot. You've got no dump button on radio any more than you have in your own life, have you?
No.
So you're up here, you're putting yourself out, you're exposing yourself to the world.
Yeah. But I think all you can do is the best you can do. And for me, this is a bit about making space and going, I just need to know, if I've been doing this for a long time, and if I think you can keep doing the same thing and keep in those same patterns and keep repeating the same thing, and then you're just living the same life over and over again, and I think there comes a time you need to go, I need to just step back and see what life's going to bring.
It can become a bit of a small life.
Yeah,
too, yes.
And so I'm just trying to see what life brings and try and be open to it, and that's not always easy for me.
Well, I don't think it's easy for anyone.
No.
I think it takes a lot of courage, and a lot of that courage is about actually learning about yourself to get to that point of making a decision, and I don't think many people do. And from my own personal perspective, Marg, it's been fabulous doing Saturday Magazine because I learnt the job from you. I think I came on this program because you asked me if I'd be interested.
Yeah.
And it's been an extraordinary experience, and it's the learning that you get from working with the people we work with here, and also just from the guests and the people that come through.
Yes.
And from hearing from our listeners.
Exactly. And you've done a bit around here. You were our news director for a while, Mr. Tolhurst.
Oh, God knows why I did that. But yes, I filled those shoes.
You've put in.
They were too large for me for a short while, but it's been a fabulous experience. Marg, we're going to have to wind up.
I can talk. That's one of my faults on radio. Less is more, but I
rubbish.
Can just... Mind you, there's so much fantastic stuff to talk about. I could go on forever about Joy and the story.
There'll be an opportunity for some more. But I think the important thing is you've been a great listener, and you've been a listener on behalf of the people who are listening
and our
community is listening. And I just think that's magic quality in good radio, is being a good listener on air.
It helps. And hello, Tex. Thank you for your gorgeous SMS. And hello, Brian. Hello, I remember your name, Brian, from the odd time around the trap. So thank you so much for your very kind words, Brian. And I'm glad that Joy has helped you to feel a connection to your community too.
Well, that was Marg Gardner. Marg Gardner, that was you.
It was.
We're just saying cheerio from Saturday Magazine to Marg Gardner, who's taking an extended sabbatical.
Thank you.
And may come back a different person. Who knows? And thanks also to our other guests this week, today, who have been Carol Wilkinson from Galfa and Sue from Dykes on Bikes, and our wonderful support crew, everyone out there. And
absolutely.
We look forward to Anthony with the news in just a second. It's Nick and Marg saying.
And thanks to you too, Chris. And thanks to everyone for putting up with me.
Oh,
it's been a pleasure for me.
It's been all our pleasure. Thank you, Marg Gardner.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.